Welcome to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the book club and podcast with your hosts, Sarah, Kit, and Marianne, three friends who talk about all things books, food, and travel.
Welcome, readers, eaters, and travelers to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the podcast and book club where books take us beyond the page. I'm Sarah.
Kit.
And I'm Marianne. Today, we'll be talking about the books we've read recently and books we think you need to add to your TBR pile.
This episode is spoiler-free, so if a book you haven't read yet is mentioned, don't worry, we're not going to spoil it for you. And as always, we are adults who are going to say adult things several times, if we're being honest, this month, several times.
This month, too, because I read a couple interesting ones.
I've got a couple real weird ones on deck.
Gosh, I'm scared. If it's weird for you.
You should. It was, yep. There, I got two that even I was like, what is happening right now?
Did you read the door one?
Not yet, no. No. I did read one about sentient balloon animals, though.
Oh, my God.
For those of you that are just listening to this, I would love for you to see the faces. We're going to have to make this like a pull clip, because Sarah looked like she was about to choke on a grape, and Marianne looked like, you know, the buffering window where it's got the little spinner, because you fully froze, eyes to the sky, and then figured out what I said.
Well, I was just thinking, well, since they're made out of latex, you probably wouldn't need other latex.
Yep. You're right. Nope. You're right on track with the other. You're right there.
Wow, that didn't take us very long to get
that was a teaser for everybody.
Our explicit rating.
Okay.
Anyways, what'd you guys rate this month?
So who wants to go first?
Well, Sarah, I think you should go first with the name of that first title you got there.
There. It's not as bad as it sounds.
I know, kind of though, but.
It is, but it isn't. It's not that kind of pussy.
I know. Two more Amy Award. I'm working my way through the Cocky Kingmans. I read The Pussy Next Door, which is about Hayes, who's the youngest brother, and he's like the rookie. And if I remember right, was a virgin. Yes. He's a virgin. And Willa, who is like this girl, the neighbor girl that he... It's always a neighbor girl. These boys didn't get their shit together in high school, apparently, because... They're all like, oh, I've loved her forever, but I've never done anything about it. I thought this is the spiciest so far. Like, enough that parts of it made me uncomfortable. And I was like, I might skip a page because there was, they are very inventive sexually.
Good for them.
Yes. So I was kind of like, I didn't love the characters as much with this one. Willa had a lot going on in her head, and it was almost too much because these are such light, fluffy books. It was almost like, okay. And of course, when they get to the part where they want to be together, but they can't be together, I was like, how hard is it to compromise? Like, this is not a difficult decision. Why is this so hard? Because it's a long story, but it has to do with traveling and all this. And I'm like, you can do both.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I feel like that with the latest Abby Jimenez. Like, it's like, okay, come on. Figure it out.
You guys can. Conversation. Come on. Just talk about it.
Stop whining and just do something.
Right. And then I read The Anaconda Downstairs, which was hilarious. And I love this one. It was Everett, who is he the oldest brother?
Chris is the oldest brother.
It's Everett. And Everett is like the love guru.
Yes.
But he actually knows nothing about love, but he somehow helps.
He's a good talker.
Yes. He's helped his brothers find love and everything, but he can't seem to get his shit together himself. And Penelope, who is Kelsey Best from book two. Mm-hmm. The Wiener Down the Way.
That's my favorite one.
Agreed. Penelope is Kelsey's assistant.
Nice.
So I will. Okay. This is my only thing against these books. I feel like everybody in this book besides the Hot Brothers are big.
Yes.
Like,
so here's
and
my
I hate that. Part of me is like, okay, it's becoming a little too gimmicky and here's it feels weird.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to know.
Because I saw you wrote words. I saw that you had put that in our.
You saw you wrote words. Okay.
I saw you wrote some words. They were smart. Me, not so much. that I think it's less that everyone is big, at least in my mind, but that it's oversaturation. Her books come out so fast. And because I got to thinking about the books by Olivia Dade, which also have a similar premise of like bigger characters.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily feel the same way that like, oh, it's gimmicky. It's too much.
But I think it's
because the books come out so quickly.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, we know. Like, that's how it kind of, I felt like, yeah, I know. Okay, great.
And it's
like,
the brothers. Yeah. It's like the whole family. And part of me is like, I would like to see more. I don't think you have to be big to have body issues.
For sure.
And I know her whole thing is body issues, like trying to get over the body issues. So part of me is like, really? Does everyone have to be? She doesn't just write like about being curvy or.
Yeah.
It's a little more fat term, I guess. And I'm saying this as somebody who is overweight.
Yeah, like, and not a single one of us falls into a different category.
No. So I feel like, but again, will I keep reading it? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I love them. It's one of those. But I think, like you said, like with Olivia Dade, those books, they're also different characters. Like,
it's not always all in the same world.
Right. Yeah. And it just feels, almost like they're almost the other way. Like they're excluding people who aren't.
Right. And this is like kind of neither here nor there, but the fact that they're set in like Colorado, where like
super granola
hippie, which maybe that's the point. Cause she's in Colorado, obviously. And she might be looking at it going, God damn it. I'm going to create a whole fucking world.
Like all of Denver.
Nobody in Denver is thin. Like, so it is that part. She's going to be at our, I say local, but she's going to be down in Denver next month. I'm going to see if I can get tickets. I got to
feel
see
like I saw that and I was going to tell you and be like,
she's
going to
be at the Spicy Librarian,
yes,
which is a Sunday night. Ryan might be out of town. So I'm waiting to find out. He's just double checking with Syracuse University. But if he's in town and I can get away for, cause it's like, it'd be like 6 hours. I'd have to be gone. Because rush hour traffic.
Yeah.
But Spicy Librarian is an awesome bookstore.
I know. I would love to go there someday.
I would just like to share the trials and tribulations of being a U.S. history teacher. You know, based on that, the title of your book, I have to teach about the Anaconda Plan in the Civil War.
So, and all the boys think it's about something different, don't they?
Oh, everybody thinks. And I'm like, no, not like the one Nicki Minaj sings about. No. We're talking about a plan to squeeze the South into submission by cutting off their supply routes. But yeah, that's always so much fun when I have to teach the Anaconda Plan. So,
of course, though, typical Amy Award, the animal names are on point.
Yeah, yes.
I can't think of what the cat's name was. Oh, nine lives? Seven
that
lives. Seven lives. Like, she literally names it something because the cat is always
on, like, having near-death experiences.
Yeah. Yes. And the other one, the anaconda downstairs, it's a yellow python.
So okay.
It's an albino python. And I there's a full name, but I know at one point it's called Bananaconda. So I'm like, there are so many aspects about the books that I love that, of course, I'm going to keep reading them.
Yeah.
Love them. I just, like you said, Kit, I might space them out a little more so that I'm not
that
like, okay. So I read those. And then I finished West with Giraffes, which we talked about a man named Woodrow Wilson Nickel, Woody Nickel. He gets kind of mocked for it. He sort of weasels. He's not a good person in terms of, he steals a lot. Like, he's a little hoodlum. He basically weasels his way as the driver for these giraffes because he wants to go to California so bad. He has nothing left in New York.
Let me at it.
Yeah, he's originally from Texas, from the Panhandle, and he wants out really bad. And it's a fictionalized account. I know we talked about this. Fictionalized account of these giraffes who survived a hurricane.
Oh, my gosh.
I did a little more research into it, too, because I was really... This is one of those books, like, after I finished it, I was like, I'm on Google for hours going. I want to see, number one, that we talked about the pictures of these giraffes.
But it said, too, like, there were multiple zoo animals that were being transported. One was a rhino, and it got washed off. So, like, they during this hurricane, a rhino did not survive. It is now dead at the bottom of the sea. And the female giraffe, who does travel the whole way injured, they found her and her crate was crushed, and they thought she was dead. So they end up, you know, so it's super interesting. The giraffes lived at the San Diego Zoo. That's where they end up going. San Diego Zoo for like 35 or 40 years. I mean, because they were young.
Dang.
And all the giraffes that are there are like descendants of them, which is that's really cool. Or like some of them are, you know.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. But it basically starts with Woody, and he's thinking back on how this trip changed his life. This literally, it's like it took like a week and a half. And they run into some really crazy things, trying to go through a tunnel with a giraffe.
You know, so like, worried about like going under a bridge.
I know, like having to like take a little bit of the air out of their tires so that they could make it just under. And times when the giraffes like want to pop their head out, but then it weighs the truck sideways and things like that. So it was really good book. Also about the woman's name, she's a real person, Belle Benchley. She was the first female director of the San Diego Zoo. And she was the director for, I think, 30 years. And the crazy thing is, she had no animal experience. She started out as a temporary bookkeeper and basically kind of worked her way. She has written a few books that I want to read now.
This takes place back in the
30s.
So you're kind of... For a woman to be able to make that kind of a career out of it, that's really cool. Yeah.
And I think she's really the one credited with making the San Diego Zoo, and now it's really the Zoological Society, what it is today. Like, she's the one that foresaw all this. And, you know, there's San Diego Zoo is super progressive for its time, which I will probably talk about later. So love that book. And then the last one, because I was really slow, although I'm almost done with another one. I'm like, I'll talk about that next week. But Heartless Hunter by Kristen Ciccarelli. We read for our book club. They were like, wait, let's read a book about witches. And somebody's like, how about Heartless Hunter? And it was one of those kind of on my list because it's romanticy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Oh, that's good.
It was so good. And it's a duology, which I love. I have one other book to read, and then the story's going to be
finished. And then the story's over. Yeah.
So Rune is a, and I love the name Rune. I don't know why. I just think that's a cool girl's name. Mm-hmm. She is a witch in disguise.
Makes me think of Cassandra Clare's books.
God, I love those names too. Rune is a witch. Witches are outlawed in this new republic. And her best friend is Alex. Alex's brother is Gideon, and Gideon's a witch hunter. Ooh. He works for the Blood Guard, they're called. This literally, enemies to lovers. Slight spoiler, but there's a second book. They're kind of back to enemies again at the last.
Good.
So. Super slow burn, but in a good way, like super satisfying when they finally get together. Love the magic world. The world was easy to get to. You know, sometimes you read a book and you're like, there's so much I have to process about this world and about the magic uses of it. This was super simple. Like, it wasn't hard to get it. So I felt like you got into it very quickly. So, definitely will be reading, Rebel Witch is the second one. And I'm like, waiting for my, because I already own it on Audible, the first one. So now I need to wait for my Audible credit so that I can order the second one.
Yep.
So that's all I read, mostly because I also started Poppy Fields again.
Yeah.
For our, and I'd never finished it. So I'm like, I kind of stopped and started that one, but I'd already read it once this year. So that was fine. And I am almost done with an arc, which I will talk about later.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that's what I did. Oh, I forgot that I added two. I was like, you know, it's spooky season. So
it is spooky season.
I'm going to add, for my English classes, we read short stories right now. And we do gothic horror short stories. And I was like, we should talk about short stories on this podcast too, because just as good. So my four favorites that we read, or five, I guess, Rose for Emily, William Faulkner. That is the story that I remember reading that in ninth grade and getting to the end and being like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah.
It is such a crazy twist. I can't even say it because it'll give it away. When I read the end of my students, I just stop and I stare at them and they're like, wait.
Yeah, like did, that moment of like,
did,
what?
And
what
I'm like,
happened?
Yes, it did. Yeah. And they're like, oh. So Strawberry Spring by Stephen King, which is another really good one if you're a Stephen King. Or even if you're not, because it's not his typical, it's not the gory horror that he writes. It is about a serial killer on a college campus. It's a short story. And it's super short for Stephen King, because it was really hard to find a short story clean enough for school written by Stephen King that wasn't 95 pages long, because those are his short stories. A Good Man is Hard to Find, Flannery O'Connor. She was a Southern writer. It's about a family going on vacation and things happen. That's all I'm going to say. They're too short. I can't give away too much plot.
Yeah, like if you say, if you give too much away on a short story.
And then, of course, Pit in the Pendulum, Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
If you're looking for some spooky stories to read or something, you know, like you want to read at night and you want something quick. So, all right. So
that's what I read.
Yeah, that's what I read. I've been reading a lot, just a lot of short stories with my students. Yeah. So, all right, Marianne, are you up now?
Go up. Okay. So you ready?
Okay.
Okay. So I did mine in a little different order. I didn't do them in order of when I read them. I did like my favorite to my least favorite. But my favorite book of the month was Wish You Were Here by Jodi Picoult. And I know right now, you know, she's controversial, but she does hard topics so well. I heard her on a podcast, and she literally takes a year to research her books and then a year to write them. And that it just shows in her research. And you can't really describe this book because to describe it is to give it away. But it took place during the COVID pandemic. And it's weird to say, but it really changed my view of life. Not the world, but of life. And it's hard to explain, but without giving it away, but I just kind of look at things so much differently after reading this and just about how, and I've always believed there's so much more that we don't know about, you know, like when you, that we don't understand. And I've just feel like this touches on that. Mm-hmm. And it just, it makes me like, even like I'm listening to the Poppy Fields right now. And some of the things that they're saying, I'm like, it makes me just very interesting.
Right.
I went into it completely blind. You know, it was one of those things. I was on Libby and I happened to see it. It was available. Yeah, it was really good. It's a little slow at the beginning, but really, really good. I just finished Crazy Spooky Love by Josie Silver. And I really like Josie Silver's books. They're usually this one was like kind of light and fluffy by comparison to some of her other books. It's about a woman who, her name is Melody Bittersweet, and she can see and speak to ghosts. And her mom and her grandma have a business called Blythe Spirits, where they like pass messages from ghosts to the living, because they can also see and speak to ghosts. And Melody has decided she's going to strike out on her own. And she gets a job trying to clear this like old house of three ghosts who are scaring away the prospective buyers. And her ex, who can also see and speak to ghosts, is also trying to get this contract. His name is Leo Dark. And it kind of ends. There's also another guy by the name of Fletch, and I can't remember his last name, who kind of becomes her love interest, but she's really not over Leo yet either. And it was fun. It was kind of a mystery with like some supernatural elements. And then she had these two fun sidekicks, Marina and Artie, and a dog named Lestat. And it was...
Yes.
Love it that.
It was a lot of fun. I read an arc called Christmas People by Iva Marie Palmer. It was funny, cute, and spicy is what I've got written down here. Jill is a screenwriter who's got writer's block, and she goes home to her small town in New Jersey for Christmas and ends up getting drunk, passing out in the Santa sleigh in the town square.
Of course.
Who hasn't done that before?
And wakes up in a heartfelt movie, which is like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Like all the people heartfelt she knows are movie. Now like the stereotypical characters in a Hallmark movie. And it was pretty funny and cute, and I enjoyed it a lot. Definitely would recommend it. I'm sure it's going to be releasing probably pretty soon since it's a Christmas story. I don't remember off the top of my head. I read The Teacher by Freda McFadden, and one of my coworkers, I was talking about it because I've started a book club at work. I have a book club that meets here, like in my community, but I also started a book club at work. And I was talking about this book with one of my coworkers, and she didn't like the way it portrays teachers. And now I understand why. Does kind of make teachers look kind of creepy, but it was twisty. I didn't see like a twist coming, like literally like on the last page. So I did enjoy that. I would read others of her books. That was the first one I had read.
Is it? I'll say I've read, didn't she do The Housemaid?
Yes. She's got like The Housemaid.
I just read the first one. I didn't want to read the other two. It was good, but yeah.
So I would read it like
how,
yeah,
The Teacher is. Yeah.
Like I said, it was a quick read.
Yeah. It's really quick. Her stuff is really quick for sure.
So, because we had made a schedule for my one book club, like for September, because it's back to school, we wanted to read something school related. And like for October, we're going to read this Riley Sager book for October,
which I've
never read. Something about the house, something or another.
The House Across the Lake.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I've got it on hold. Let me see. Where's my phone?
Riley Sager is one of my new favorites because Erin got me hooked on him. Mm-hmm. It's his pen name. And she recommended the only one left. Oh, my gosh. I was like, whoa, that's so good.
It is.
So I've read.
Before Dark is what
that's
it's
his new one. I've not read that one yet.
I'm 34th in line, so I might have to buy it because.
Because it's not. I would say that just came out.
Yeah. So somebody, I wasn't at my book club because I was in New York. And so that's what they picked. So I didn't have any say in it.
Of course.
That's okay, because every time I pick something, they always tell me, it's too predictable. I'm like, so okay, so I don't ever pick books for the book club. For my other book club at work, we read a book called 15 Postcards, and the author's name is Kristen something or another. And let me pull up my Goodreads. It's Kirsten McKenzie.
Okay.
And it's got time travel elements, like England, an old curiosity shop with all kinds of different trinkets. My main takeaway was I would have liked it better if it were 10 postcards. It just felt like it lasted a little too long. It also ends on a cliffhanger. And I wasn't really, I'm not invested enough to read the next one. You know, I liked the audio better than the print, but I don't think I'll be reading the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, some of the time travel was a little clunky. Like, wait, that's not how that should work. But.
You know,
and then
I guess you could do whatever you want when you're writing time
travel.
Right,
I guess.
But yeah. Like some of it just didn't jive. Like she would come home with artifacts from her time travels.
You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mess things up.
And then, but then like, and
she learned nothing from Doc Brown.
And she would come home with the clothes on. But like when she was time traveling, she would inhabit somebody else's body. So if she's coming home in the clothes, is like the other person just stark naked when she leaves?
Boom, they're naked. They don't know where they've been.
Come
and suddenly
in the middle of the street.
And she sleeps with somebody while she's time traveling.
No.
That's how you get grandparent babies.
Yeah. But the body she inhabited ends up knocked up, not her. So.
Oh, that feels illegal.
So, yeah. So it was like this poor girl wakes up in like the 1700s and she's pregnant, but she doesn't know how. And
my gosh.
So some of those things were like, kind of awkward. So, but like I said, it was recommended by one of my coworkers who's friends with the author. And it wasn't bad. I mean, I think anytime you're doing time travel, anything like that, there's going to be people who are going to pick holes in it going, wait, that doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
So not dissing it. I just thought, I think the other reason I would have liked to have been shorter is because like I was traveling and trying to read it and on deadline.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that's why I would have liked it to be shorter. And then finally, I was going to tell you, I don't think I talked about this last month, about my Elvis audiobook kick.
We talked about it briefly, but
So I've just, my mom used to love to read like the National Enquirer and the Star and stuff like that.
Yes.
And like after Elvis died, there was all this stuff about, you know, whether he was still alive, if he was a Burger King and what was it, Grand Rapids or something. And, you know, and I was just always really fascinated by his lifestyle. You know, it was just like, he was kind of like the first like big, like superstar, megastar, whatever, who had like this big lifestyle, at least it was like in the tabloids and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we went to Memphis years ago because I wanted to see Graceland. And it's really not as impressive as you would think it would be, but it, you know, compared to today. But so I was listening, I was looking for an audiobook on Libby, and I found Lisa Marie Presley's memoir. It's called From Here to the Great Unknown. And she died in the middle of recording like the transcripts for it, or like the her, so her daughter, Riley Keough, like edited it, and she narrates most of it. Like they have some of Lisa Marie's recordings in there. It's really hard to understand her. And it just made me wonder how like Riley Keough was able to do that. I mean, I just can't even imagine what it'd be like your mom's story and so much tragedy in it. And it was interesting. I enjoyed it. So then I got Elvis and Me by Priscilla Presley on audio. And I am now fully cured of my Elvis fascination because, you know, she was 14 when she met Elvis.
I know.
And I kind of, because they always said like they didn't have sex until she was, you know, 18 or whatever. Well, they did a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. Still things and that 14-year-olds shouldn't be doing. How old was he?
He was 10 years older.
Oh, so he was 24. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so.
But he was Elvis.
And her parents, I mean, her dad was like an officer in the military and he was letting her go do this stuff, you know, and let her go live with him. And it just, I mean, he was, you know, he was popping pills. She was popping pills with him. And like, she's like talking about being in Vegas and going out and deciding which pistol goes with which gun, which
That's
gown.
Crazy.
And like, she's giggling because Priscilla Presley narrated it. And she's giggling about some of this stuff, about the good old days. And I was just like, ew.
Right.
This is gross, you know? And it also makes me wonder how like Riley Keough was able to play Daisy Jones. Because considering drug abuse has damaged her family, how did she play Davy Jones? So I'm now fully cured of any interest in Elvis or ever going back to Graceland or ever reading another book about Elvis because Priscilla Presley just completely put me off the whole thing. So anyhow, that's my books. After you, Kit.
This is going to be the clunkiest transition ever from very serious.
From Elvis to the Ware Turkey.
The Ware Turkey. On mine, I did my list in the order in which I read them. And when we recorded our podcast last month,
I just
well
read.
Voted for Marianne's Loser Shit. You guys voted for this. I would like to remind
we did.
You.
We
I
did.
Gave you options and you went with this one first. I did read the other book that I had in my list too, but I read it that night. And not only did I, it's only 24 pages. I don't know. It's very short. It's a short story. It's right up there with Sarah's short stories. And not
just
only did I
classic,
read it to myself,
like the pit and the pendulum,
right? Yes. That deserves to be read out loud, which is why I have a friend who lives over in Australia. She was having, it was either my friend in Scotland, she was having a bad day, or my friend in Australia, they were having a bad day. We have a group chat. So I read it out loud into like a voice note.
My God.
And I went in blind. So I had no idea what was going to happen. Multiple times during it, I went, wait, hold on. I got to stop for a second. Let me start over. Let me read this sentence again. It is exactly what you think it is. This book is called Stuffed by the Ware Turkey. Perfect for October, for Halloween. And actually, it's probably better for November, but whatever. A Ware Turkey. It's a fall classic, I feel like.
Of course.
It's by Tate McKirk. Tate McKirk has tons of other books on Kindle Unlimited. I don't know what is wrong in your brain, Tate McKirk, but I love it. Like, something is firing off, like, just some weird concepts, and you have the balls to just go with it. So I love that for you and for me, honestly. So this, my short sentence about this one, I can go much deeper if you want, but it's a PETA meatless Thanksgiving a stolen turkey and a guy with a turkey head and lots of gravy. So basically, our main character, whose name I don't remember, it works with PETA, and she steals a turkey, and the guy's like, no, you can't take that turkey. And she's like, that's weird that you're like specifically attached to this turkey, but whatever, dude. She takes him back to her apartment. She is supposed to host the PETA meatless Thanksgiving the next day.
God.
She puts the turkey in the bathroom, and the turkey's like losing its shit in there because turkeys don't belong in apartment bathrooms.
Of course not.
And she opens the door, and the turkey like attacks her, like with his little turkey feet, and mid attack turns into a guy, like a naked guy. And she's like, ooh, man dick, I guess. I don't know. I was like, immediately was like, whatever.
Turn on because he's not a turkey anymore.
Turn on. Yeah, except for his face remains a turkey. I would like you both to look up the cover of this book, and it really explains everything.
Okay, I'm doing it right now.
He has a turkey head and the body of a very hot man. And she's like, for some reason, the turkey face isn't, you know, turning me off. And then the rest of the book is them getting it on, the rest of the book, the like next five pages.
I remember looking at this.
Right? The rest of the book is them getting it on all over the apartment, including him thunking her down on a table full of mashed potatoes, which is where the aforementioned gravy comes into play, because there's multiple kinds of gravy on those potatoes, and she's here for it.
Then she's
so satisfied that she sleeps in, and her PETA boss shows up, and Meatless Thanksgiving isn't ready, and she gets fired.
No, you gave away the ending. They spoiled it.
Did I spoil it? She gets fired from her meatless turkey Thanksgiving PETA job. But some of the lines, I'm scrolling through my thing right now because I saved some of the lines. I took pictures because some of the lines from this book, I should have queued them up ahead of time and I forgot, are so insane. But I got to find the right. When was I at a horse show? Here we go. Maybe I didn't save them. That would be sad. I know I definitely sent them to several people. I was like, please.
Well, Kit, I know you said you want to do a TikTok live later on. So that
I might read this one out loud at some point. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. It's a solid edition. Here we go. Before she could read, this is going to get filthy fast, friends. So this adult content warning. Before she could reach her release, he pulled out, picking her up, only to deposit her on the table. She gave a squawk of need, wanting nothing more than to be filled by him as she landed on the plate piled high with mashed potatoes.
My God.
They squelched around her ass cheeks.
My God.
And everything was coated with some taboo sort of gravy.
My God.
I read that and I was like, yeah, like this is the stupidest, funniest thing I have ever read. Yeah. And it's a short story. So it's really fast. So, you know, if that's your jam. Stuffed by the Were Turkey is the way
maybe
to go.
Maybe Sarah could read that to her students.
Right before I lose my job. You're right. You could look at a lot of foreshadowing.
A lot of foreshadowing.
A lot of foreshadowing as she steals the turkey from the farm. Like, there's some there's some literary devices.
I'm just thinking we should chip in and buy Tate McKirk a subscription to Canva. So he can make better covers.
Seriously. I think it's perfect just like it is.
Hire me. I will make them on Canva. I will put that turkey head on a hot body.
I think it's perfect just as it is. Because you're really not sure where you're getting. You don't want to give it away too early. You don't want to look at the cover and know you're going to get in a hot man with a turkey head. You want to, like, what are we talking about here? So it's, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. So that was my first book. Of the month. Okay. I'm going to bookend my books with absolute chaos. But in the middle, I read a lot of really good books that were not quite as insane. The second one I read is Whispers of the Deep by Emma Hamm. This is an enemies to lovers, which is always my favorite. This was also on my list of unhinged books, but it ended up being not quite as bonkers as I thought it was going to be.
I just saw this one online.
It was semi-hinged, let's say. So this is the one that takes place underwater. It's called Data, but it's like an Atlantis type world. the girl is an engineer. She's fixing kind of this ballroom area, and mm-hmm. she sees this like super aggressive merman who clearly wants to kill her. And he starts attacking the side of this kind of domed in area. She almost drowns. She makes it out like just in the nick of time. And they have this moment where they look at each other from like opposite sides of the glass. And she's like, Jesus, he's terrifying, but also
kind of hot.
I might like that. And then the story kind of goes from there. He has like legit reasons to hate her and like the community underwater. There's definitely, if you wanted to get like super into it, you could get into the idea of like colonization and moving out indigenous like communities, like take over. And, you know, you could definitely read more into it if you wanted to, but it's also just like a monster romance, which obviously I enjoy. The author's note, I'm not going to read out loud, but is one of the funniest things I've ever read. She's just like straight up. She's just like, I'm not a scientist.
I just made this shit up.
But who cares? This book is not claiming to be actual science. But the way she wrote it, I was like, solid. Like, I like that.
You know, it's all good.
Yeah.
This and is currently available on Audible.
My God.
So here's, this is like a side note.
Might
on
be a
Audible.
Free one. Maybe this is where I saw it today. It might be free on Audible. Be.
Does it have two narrators? Because it's like dual point of view.
Ooh, I'm going to have to look it up.
Because I listened
it
to
does.
Multiple... See, I think I'm partial to that.
And neither one is Teddy Hamilton.
Beautiful. Hey, this would not... Listen, Teddy Hamilton, I love Jen Tusk Love, but this would not be the book for you.
Will M. Watt and Carmen Rose.
I listened to a bunch of dual narrator ones, and I really liked it. And then
too.
I just actually finished listening to a book today that it didn't necessarily... need dual narrators because it was only one point of view.
Yeah.
But I had a really hard time anytime the main male character was talking.
Yeah.
That it was, I mean, the narrator did such a good job with different voices and different accents. And there was nothing that she was doing that was wrong per se.
Right.
But after listening to so many that had dual narrators in a row, only having the one voice, I was like, oh, that should be a different voice. Like, that should be that should be someone else's voice.
It is free right now. I just downloaded it.
There you go.
So you don't have to wait for your credit to come in on the 18th.
No, I don't have to. It gets more stars on Audible than it does on Goodreads.
Ooh. So maybe like might be one that I would
4.
Listen to.
4.7 on Audible. It's only 3.95 on Goodreads.
So that would be one that I would listen to. I like to listen to books after I read them.
Yeah.
So that would be one that I might listen to.
Okay.
Then I read a nonfiction. This is called Aloha Rodeo. It's by David Woolman. I picked it up initially just because the cover looked awesome. I was at the library. And it's set in basically 1908 is like the present of the book. So the story keeps returning back to 1908. It's about the Cheyenne Frontier Days, which is only about an hour north of me. It's one of the biggest rodeos in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of only topped by the Calgary Rodeo up in Canada. So it's kind of like the biggest one here. And in 1908, Cheyenne Frontier Days was newer. Like it was just kind of coming into being. And what I liked about this book is it jumped back in time from 1908 to talk about like how Cheyenne Frontier Days came into existence, why it came into existence, which I found hysterical. And it was because they were jealous of all the other festivals that were happening around. And it was like Fort Collins, which is where I live, has like the potato days. And Cheyenne is mostly a dirt town.
Right.
So they were like, we don't grow anything. We don't have an industry. Like, what do we even have a festival for? And they're like, well, we can cowboy. Like, we can rodeo. And it grew into a huge thing. And then the other half of the story went into the history of how cattle were brought to Hawaii.
Okay. That's interesting.
And why they were brought to Hawaii.
They're clearly not native. They're clearly not native.
Correct.
But, yeah.
And the way they were introduced, they were gifted to the king in Hawaii at the time. But given no, like, here's these cattle. Like, they didn't know how to take care of them. They didn't know what to do with them. They didn't want them. And the cattle were like, by the time they made it to Hawaii, because they were shipped by boat, obviously, were like emaciated.
Gosh.
And like, so they were basically just turned loose on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And wreaking havoc because they were a non-native species. And then a place called the Parker Ranch kind of slowly came into existence. And it was, I want to say he was from England, but it might be Scotland. It's in that direction. One, a guy came over that was like, let me help you. Like, let me show you how to like herd cattle and like raise them for meat. And like that we shouldn't just let them run wild. Like, let me help you. And so like the ranching community began and they started to do rodeo over there. And there was three guys that were kind of like the best of the best. And the Cheyenne Frontier Days invited them to come compete in 1908 as kind of a spectacle. Like cowboys.
Yep.
So the whole book starts with these three guys showing up and they're dressed in like their traditional Hawaiian like rodeo gear. Okay. They've got flowers around their hats. Like people are like, these guys are not gonna like, who the fuck do they think they are? And they end up winning the whole thing. So one of them ends up being like the world champion at the Cheyenne Frontier Days because they're very good cowboys. And but the story, like they arrive at the rodeo on page one and then at the end we get like how they did and everything in between is all the history of ranching in Hawaii, the history of the Cheyenne Frontier Days, how the cattle industry works on an island. Like it was really cool, fun, factual information just punctuated by these like crazy rodeo stories.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was like, oh, like this. I really liked the way it was laid out. And it is, like, personally fun to me because we go to Cheyenne.
I like it when nonfiction books are like that, too, where they have a little bit of, like, jump around a little bit almost. It makes it a little bit more interesting.
It's not as dry.
Right, you know?
It included tons of maps and, like, so you could really picture, like, where things were in relation to other things.
That's cool.
I like that. And then the next book I read was the one I was talking about before we started recording. It's called The Wilderness Search. It's by Cindy Myers. This is a Harlequin intrigue. So instead of a Harlequin romance, this is an unsolved mystery series book. It's set in Colorado, which I always love. But I didn't know that Harlequin did these books. And they're really short. Like you can read it in a few hours if you're because they're you don't have to think too much about it, which sometimes when I say that, it sounds like a negative. But like.
No, I agree. Sometimes it's like, nice
sometimes
when you don't
you
have
just
to think.
Want to like read the book.
Yes, exactly.
And so but there is romance in it, but that's not the main focus. Yeah. This one's set in Colorado at a summer camp where a girl goes missing. So it starts with the search and all these different players are coming in. So there's a bit of a whodunit. One main character has just moved to the area. She's a nurse. She's part of the search and rescue team. Mm-hmm. And her brother, who also lives in the area, was arrested and almost convicted of a similar crime where they previously lived.
Okay.
So he immediately becomes a suspect. And there's one of the people that work at the police department, I want to say, or on the rescue team, knew them in their old town. He was the cop that almost got the brother convicted. The brother didn't do it, but like the police botched it. So at the previous state. So he's a suspect. There's suspects that work at the camp. Some people think she's just a runaway, like, cause there's no body, there's nothing that says she's dead. And what I liked about this one is you know who did it right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, when you read it, they don't say it outright, but they do make it really obvious.
Okay.
You know whose fault this is.
Right, right.
But what you don't know is if it's a murder, you don't know if the girl is dead.
Okay.
You don't know if he did something that caused her to run away.
Okay.
Like, you know, and I'm going to talk about this one more a little later, but I liked that I knew it was this guy. I knew he was responsible, but I didn't know. Yeah, I liked this one because it made me want to read more in the series.
Yeah.
Which when I bought this one, I bought it when I was staying in the RV at a horse show. I have three more of them, but they're in the RV parked at the storage area. So if I want to read them, I got to go drive over there and get them. But that was a good one. And then I read An Ark by Allison Cochran. I read Every Step She Takes. This book, I think, is like perfect for this podcast in terms of like, it's got travel, it's got food, and it's a book. It's so funny. The main character is Sadie. She's like having basically like a midlife crisis, and she signs up to go on this European tour. Then she gets fucking tanked on the airplane and admits, like, she's like fessing up to like all of her deepest, darkest secrets to just the random person that's sitting next to her on the airplane. And this person is just like, that's like, you know, just that's being so nice and considerate. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, you know, yeah, yeah. Like, she comes out to her. Like, it's like stuff that you shouldn't be telling someone you just met 10 seconds ago while you're drunk on a plane. And then she gets there and finds out that her seatmate is on the tour. And unbeknownst to her, the tour is very specifically for queer women.
Interesting.
And she did just come out on the plane. So, like, she is the market audience.
Right.
But she didn't know that at the time. So she's having, like, a full-blown, like, identity crisis while also trying to tour Europe. And, like, she's a disaster. But it's written so funny. And her seatmate's name is Mal. And Mal is basically like, let me be your Obi-Wan Kenobi. And let me get you basically all the experiences you should have had as a teen growing up if you had felt comfortable coming out when you were younger.
Things
like, let me give you these experiences and, like, you know, take going on a date or, like, visiting different places as they tour through Europe. And it's kind of like I think Mel says something like, it's the coming out you deserve. Like, you shouldn't have had to come out. Not that she had to, but you should have
like
you came out drunk on a plane to a stranger. Like, let's rewrite this a little bit. And then, of course, because it's a romance, there's like blurred lines and like, will they, won't they?
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
Do we return to our like past lives or do we pick something different? And so it was very, very cute, but also the banter in this one is top notch.
So I read something by Allison Cochran. I don't remember. Like, it might have been her debut. It was a few years ago.
She has a ton of good books. The one that I feel like The Charm Offensive is the one that most people read when it first came out.
That's the one I read about the reality show, guys.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And that one had, like, amazing banter, too. Like, she writes banter.
That was super cute.
Like,
yes, I read that one.
Yeah, that was the first one that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, I've read an arc of that.
I've read the other ones too, which are also very, very good. But I think I loved The Charm Offensive. But I do think that this one might be my favorite of the bunch.
Hmm.
Just that it feels like she's like in the sweet spot with like writing the characters and like how they interact with each other. So that was a great one. I got that one off of Edelweiss, which is where I get my arcs. So that was super good. And then to wrap up my section, book that I saw a TikTok video of. It's a novella. It's a not a super short story. It's a novella, and it's called Squeak. It is by Vera Valentine.
I'm sure that's not a pen name. That's a real name.
And that was like, what was the one book I read where like the name was like the pseudonym? Oh, I can't remember. But it was like I Am Scary or something.
It was so like,
like, sure. So I saw a TikTok of this that was like, if you want to read something that makes no sense, but when you finish it, you're going to be like, it does make sense.
The cover looks legit. So compared to the Were-Turkey one.
Yes. Yep. So this one, I immediately got it on Kindle Unlimited. Like before the video was even over, I was like, sounds good. And honestly, I just had a hard time reading longer books this month. Like, if I couldn't read it in one sitting, I was not finishing it. Like, I just, anytime I set a book down, I could not pick it back up for whatever. And, like, good books. Like, books that I know I'm going to like.
Right.
I just couldn't do
just
it.
Just not doing it.
So, I was looking for just shorter books. This one is, like, 70 pages long. Like, it's not long. It's about it's a novella about an art student who likes to do her sketching at the local zoo because you can people watch, you can look at the animals. There's like lots of flowers and plants. So she likes to do her sketching at the zoo. She's kind of cranky. She doesn't like to be disrupted. But there is a very hot zoo worker selling balloons, not balloon animals, just actual balloons. And he strikes up a conversation with her. He's asking about her art. And she's like, oh, he's like super nice, this, that, the other. But it's like super hot out. And he's like, let me get you a water. So she goes with him back to the concession stand. His name is Sebastian. She meets the concession stand worker who is like super grumpy and pissed off. and he's like, you shouldn't be back here or whatever. But these Sebastian, the other guy's name is Keen. Sebastian and Keen are like clearly best friends. They're roommates, blah, 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 blah. And then out of nowhere, like she leaves and these two guys start talking about how like she could be the one to help us break the curse. And you're like, what the fuck curse are we talking about? Like, what does this have to do with like balloon animals on the cover? So the description by the author, I don't think I could describe it any better than she did. It's a male, female balloon animal shifter Omegaverse novella.
Right? This is a true love triangle then, isn't it?
This is a true love. Well, yes. But I don't think anyone's like, there's no choices to be made.
They're just like, shwoink. Yeah.
So it's that the two guys worked in a traveling carnival, like back in the day.
Yeah.
And they were being kept as sex slaves by a witch. And then when they try to get away, she curses them. Very unclear on how this curse works. Like, it was just, they're just cursed. I'm not sure how or why we chose the kind of curse we chose. That occasionally they turn into balloon animals. And your point about that Marianne made earlier before we started recording that, you know, that you don't need a condom because you're a balloon animal. Very apt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because mostly, if I read it correctly, and to be fair, I read it in the middle of the night, so I don't know that I was firing on all cylinders either. Mostly the thing that turns into a balloon animal is the penis. And I think the rest of you stays roughly humanoid because she's sleeping with everyone, our main character. And you know the knot of the balloon?
Yeah.
When you knot a balloon closed?
No, I'm scared.
That's the tip. And there's a lot of time spent on how that works.
Okay.
And as I was reading it, I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess scientifically, if you were to turn into a balloon, that would make sense. But then she also threw in this whole like shifter Omegaverse thing, which I don't know if you guys ever have read Omegaverse, but there's a whole werewolf novels.
Okay. I guess
also science, because it happens with real wolves in the wild. Yes. They not. So when you have sex, you get locked together.
Yeah.
That happens with these balloons as well. And then you have to wait for them to deflate. The whole thing is so weird and so bonkers. But in the end, she helps them break the curse because they have to do some very specific runes to like break the curse. And like the witch is like, how dare you? And she's like, I'm an art student. Like, I just can. And then I think it's a happy ever after, like with all three of them. But I would love to know, Vera Valentine, if you're listening, what in your head said balloon animal shifter? Like what? Like how did you come up with that?
Well, somebody else took a door. Somebody else took a turkey. She had like,
Yeah.
What was left?
And also, the sounds that balloons make.
Squeaky.
I mean, the title is squeak. So I feel like that, if we're going to talk about foreshadowing, that foreshadows a little bit.
Wow.
But I don't know if I can do that. Like, wow. I don't know. Like, you know, sometimes you're reading a book you're thinking about like the actual mechanics of it. Like, could that be done? Like, could you bend in that way? Like, does that make sense? Or is this author insane? And I'm thinking about like, could you listen to just the squeak of a balloon? Or would that kill the mood? Because I think
it would kill the mood for me.
Yeah. So on that note, that was the last book I read.
Okay.
rapid fire questions.
It is time for our rapid fire questions. What character would you want to go on a road trip with, Kit?
I picked Sadie and Mal from Every Step She Takes because it starts out so chaotic, but the effort, especially on Mal's part, like her effort to make sure that Sadie has a good time and gets to see all the things she wants to see, made it an amazing experience for them. And as the person who usually plans everything,
yeah,
I was like, oh, it would be nice to just like have someone else like go, what do you like to do? And then just plan it and then get to just go along for the ride. So that would be kind of amazing.
Plus you'd be going to Europe. So that would be.
Plus yes. I would be going to Europe. Yes. That is also very true.
Yes.
How about you, Sarah?
I said a character named Red from West with Giraffes. I didn't mention her before. She is a photographer that follows them. And just kind of pops up. She says she's a photographer for Life magazine, but then it comes out very quickly. She's not. She's hoping to take pictures for Life magazine. As the story goes on, her, you learn more about her and her story. And she's a very interesting person. She's running from something, but you don't know that. And I think that she would be interesting because she is on this trip because she so purely is fascinated by these giraffes.
So she's giraffe paparazzi.
She is. Like she, at one point, she's
I feel like,
that
would be me. Like her
bucket
like,
list.
I will follow you around.
Yeah. Her bucket list is like to see a giraffe. So it's for her. Okay. It's like, so she's just super innocent and pure when it comes to that. And I think she'd be interesting to listen to her life story of why she's doing this. So how about you, Ma?
I would say Melody from Crazy Spooky Love. She buys this old van and they paint it with the name of her her ghost hunting agency. And the whole book kind of has a Scooby-Doo vibe to it too, because
love
like
that.
Artie, yeah. the guy who's like her sidekick, he's like tall and gangly and they've got a dog. So I kind of picture it as like, was it the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo, like all painted and crazy. Like, I don't know that you would really get to your destination because it feels like, sounds like it's been like held together with duct tape and
something.
Right.
But it would be a fun ride. And also her sidekick, Marina, is Italian. I mean, it takes place in England, so Marina's Nana is Italian and makes cookies and pastries every day for them.
Ooh,
yeah.
So we have Nana's tin of goodies to take with us. So I would pick that one.
Yep, that's a solid reason.
Yeah,
snacks done.
Yes, cannoli and I forget biscotti and all kinds of stuff. So things I'd never heard of, but they sounded delicious. Okay, what's up next? Are places we want to go to in these books?
I can go first.
Go
Mine's
for
kind
it.
Of a longer answer and also requires time travel.
Oh, okay, yes.
I thought for Aloha Rodeo, I thought it would be, I've been to Hawaii, we're talking 30 years ago. So I don't really remember a ton about it, except for the fact that I did see wild pigs eat a cow. Like, that's what we were out horseback riding. Like, we were on a trail ride, and they were like, and over here are wild pigs, and they're eating a dead cow. And I was like, that's terrifying. And not at all what I thought I would find here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But I don't really recall a ton of other stuff from being in Hawaii. So I do think it would be super cool to go back in time to when the Parker Ranch was kind of just being established and see how they took these cattle and turned them into an industry. When you're kind of, you don't have the same ability to export and import, especially at that time, 1908. And then I also do think it would be fun to go to Cheyenne Frontier Days in the early days.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about it because it has always been very sensationalized, like bigger, better, faster, which in rodeo is kind of like the standard. But there was also some really horrific events in the early years that were so bad that even the people of the time were like, never fucking again. Like, we are not doing this. Like, they had a wild wolf roundup that was just horrific.
I say, I'm sure the animal cruelty kind of things, like with circuses, early circuses were not pretty.
100%.
Yep.
But I do think it would be cool to see how, like, what it actually started as and be able to compare it to what it is today.
Yeah.
Because it's on the exact same, like, Cheyenne is not that big. Like, you can go to the original rodeo grounds, and then you can go to the rodeo. It's like 10 straight days. So I would travel back in time and see how those places looked in the past when, like, the cattle industry was just kind of kicking. So that was my choice. Marianne, what you got?
The Galapagos Islands, it's where Wish You Were Here starts out, and it just sounds beautiful, stunning. I would definitely go there. And how about you, Sarah?
Mine, I've been here many times. It is like my favorite place in the whole world, almost. The San Diego Zoo. It's just so magical. So when I originally went to college, I was pre-veterinary medicine. And I wanted to be a zoo vet, specifically.
Okay.
I wanted to work with, very specific, I wanted to work with Siberian tigers and work on breeding.
Yeah.
And so this whole, the whole book, West with Giraffes, just resonated with me so much because of San Diego and the zoo and everything. And knowing, like I said, that's why I want to read the book that is written by Belle Benchley, because that zoo is so amazing. Like, there are exhibits where you never see the animals. Yes. Because they're so good that the animals are, they're just not always up
they're
for public
display.
They're in
like a more natural yes. habitat too, correct? Like yes. I was there like decades ago.
Yes.
I guess so. I've only been there once.
There's the zoo and then there's the wild animal park. And I think they call it the safari park.
Okay.
Which is really cool. And that like their tiger exhibit is like acres.
Yeah.
There. So you sometimes, like I said, sometimes you'd be like, oh, it's over there like lounging in the shade. We did a safari there once, a photography safari, because all of the plains animals all live together.
Well, that's
like they would in the wild. So like the antelope yeah. are with the giraffes and the Cape yeah. buffalo. They keep the predators away, but they yeah. place the predators are like west, because most mm-hmm. of the time the wind is coming from the west and they need okay. in order
they don't
to.
Want the- Yeah.
They, well, they have the plains animals need to feel the threat.
Uh-huh.
So they have to be able to smell.
Interesting.
Like it helps keep them, their survival instincts up.
Okay.
I saw two of the, this is how amazing San Diego is. They, up until a few years ago, because they're both gone now, two of the last three remaining white rhinos in the world.
Wow.
And I have a really cool picture of them from probably 15 years ago that I took. And they, when we went and saw them, they were like, this is it. You will see this species go extinct in your lifetime. These are two females. We have tried everything possible to breed. They just yeah. don't take. And they're happy living together. And they're we're just letting them live out their life. The last one, I think, is gone now, too. Like in the last mm-hmm. year, it was from a wildlife preserve in Africa. So it's like okay. super, super yeah. rare. But they just do so many amazing things there that I mm-hmm. like. I want to work in a zoo.
Yeah. All right. What's our question?
Character.
What character do you want to have dinner with?
What character do you want to have dinner with? Sarah.
Okay. Does it have to be a character or can I have dinner with an author?
Oh, that'd
have dinner with an author.
Because I was looking back and I'm like, I don't know. Some of these are, I don't know if I have any standout characters. We've already said mm-hmm. that, you know, the
Kingsmen.
The Kingsmen's
is always
like, they're always like, yeah. I keep reading and I'm like, I don't know. Stephen King. Mm. I would love to have a sit down with Stephen King or Flannery O'Connor because she was a female and she was horribly racist.
No.
And so her stories kind of show that. And it's huh? almost interesting, you know, to talk to somebody in that time to be like, why? What was so different? Like,
right.
Why did you feel that way? So I feel like her from a historical standpoint. She was also young when she died. She was only like 39. She had lupus.
Wow.
So she never married, never, you know, I think that would be interesting. But definitely Stephen King. He's like, how do you write horror so well and then also write Stand By Me and The Shawshank Redemption?
One of my favorite.
Shawshank Redemption, Stand one of the best movies ever made. Like, yeah. holy cow. How do you then write yes. Pet Sematary?
Right?
You know? So, yeah, that's who I think I'd go with. How about you, Kit?
Have to go with Josette from Stuffed by the Were-Turkey.
Okay. Girl, what the hell are you thinking?
Not 100%. And let me be super, super clear. We are not eating at her apartment.
For
I already know what went down on that table.
Yep.
But I would just like to know, first of all, why PETA? Second of all, we turkey head didn't turn you off? Like, I have
right?
so many questions. And here's where I get in my own way a lot of the time. I have lots of friends that send me really jacked up videos that are, like, questionable at best. And they're supposed to, like, shock you. And I'm always like, okay, but here's my question about this. Like, I get so curious about it. And
you
want
to know the logistics of how that actually works?
I like to know the logistics of how this works. Like, is that, you know, whatever. I have so many questions for Josette. First of all, why'd you steal the turkey? What did you think you were going to do with it? Secondly, when it turned into a man, no part of you went,
that's really
maybe
weird.
I shouldn't have sex with a half turkey man. Maybe I shouldn't
I mean, he doesn't talk clearly. Does he just gobble?
Yes. It is mentioned several times in this book that he makes turkey noises.
Oh, no.
He's not
turned
off by that.
No.
And
no
let me tell you, when I read it out loud, I didn't say gobble gobble. Like, if you're going to read it out loud,
like,
you got to commit. 100%. Like 100%. Like if we're talking about, does the squeak turn you off? Like maybe I can, but like a gobbling turkey? But I have so many questions from Josette. We're not eating at your house. I know what you do there. We will meet at a coffee shop or something like that. And I just, why? Why? What did you do with the turkey afterwards? Did you eat it? Like when it turned back to a turkey? Like,
but she works for PETA, so she obviously doesn't eat animals.
She got fired by PETA, so maybe she does now. Is that okay? So, a further follow up question.
Wow.
If you're sleeping with a half turkey, half man, are you no longer vegan?
I say, are you still vegan? Are you still a vegetarian if you sleep with?
I mean, but fluids were exchanged. Like, you ingested that.
That's true.
It's a high concept question here on the podcast.
I'm so glad
you asked me about who I wanted to go have dinner with.
Okay.
I don't think I can answer now because who can?
You need to answer. You have a good answer.
You have an actual real answer that doesn't involve were turkeys.
Well, I think I already touched on this before, but you know, not a character, but I really would love to talk to Riley Keough because like, how did she go through her mother's like memories and put them all together and then narrate the book, first of all? I mean, first she put the book together, then she narrated it. But then at the same time, she also played Daisy Jones, who has a serious drug problem. And I just would be curious to talk to her how she's able to do all of that. Yeah. And also, like, what does it feel like to be like Elvis's granddaughter?
Yeah, she would be, for that reason alone, she'd be interesting to talk to.
Yeah,
I'd want to talk to her too.
Because like they talk about in the books, like the family like still would go there and spend time at Graceland, even when like there was tours going on downstairs, they would be upstairs, you know, and. You know, what's that feel like to have like all these strangers walking through your house and, you know, talking about your family like that? Mm-hmm. So I think she'd be really interesting to talk to. Yeah. Not probably as interesting as Josette, but, you know.
Who knows? Josette seems real dumb. So she probably wouldn't be a great conversation.
What are our top book recommendations this month?
Who's going first?
I'll go first. Mine was Heartless Hunter, hands down. I mean, I loved West with Drafts, but Heartless Hunter was totally hooked from the first moment. Like I said, it's good slow burn. The magical world was super doable, easy to get into. And I feel like I read it in like 2 days super quickly. So
I went with Wilderness Search as my top one. It was pretty much my only like just kind of simple, easy, just read for the entertainment factor. I thought it was the perfect mystery. I said this earlier that like you could figure out who kind of the potential murderer was really early on in the game. And again, I thought it was intentional, but all of the other threads that had to come together for that person to be captured and punished kept you guessing the whole time. So even though you kind of knew where you were going to end up, the whole rest of the book was twists and turns where you're like, oh, that person is involved. Oh my God, he's not involved. Holy, like they're okay. Like, I guess that is happening. And the reason the girl goes missing was not a reason I would have guessed. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
So,
but once they said it, you went, like, yeah, all these other little bits and pieces kind of fell into place and you were like, oh, that guy's such a bad fucking dude. Mm-hmm. But like, so you knew where you were going to end up, but the getting there was kind of the fun of the book. So I really liked that one. Marianne?
Mine would definitely be Wish You Were Here by Jodi Picoult. Like I said, there's just something about that book that I keep thinking about. Like I was listening to the Poppy Fields today and some things were making me just think about life and death and all the different layers of the universe. And that book just keeps me thinking. So definitely, I would pick that one.
I have already added that to my want to read list.
Yes. I already added it on my library account. So I'm not close to the top of the list. But when it comes in, I will snag it.
Did you see that she has Broken Things, which is Wish You Were Here 0.5?
Oh, no. I'll have to look for that.
I'm not sure how
because it ends on sort of a...
Oh, it's a prequel.
Oh,
to Wish You Were Here. 9-year-old Diana keeps a tally of every day her mother's gone. counting down until she will see her again.
Oh,
so Diane is your main character, right?
Yeah,
so
that,
interesting.
Dang.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wonder if it's a short story, I think, just a novella. So
okay, I'll look for it.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too.
All right, so that was a lot of books that we just talked about, and they were all over the map per usual, which is kind of our favorite part of this entire endeavor. But we don't stop reading just because it's the end of the month. So what do we have coming up next? What books do you guys have next? Sarah?
Well, I'm currently farm sitting, which means it's so weird. I listen to books nonstop when I'm at the farm because it's just me. It's me and all the animals. So I can have my phone on with me all the time and just constantly have a book going. So I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm going to get a couple books done. I am currently reading What Happened to Lucy Vale, which is Lauren Oliver's new one coming out.
I have that on.
Another one of my must buy. I am loving it. I was hoping to have it finished by today, but it's kind of a murder mystery. Well, maybe not a missing girl mystery. I don't know yet if she's been murdered. Yeah. Lucy Vale's mother tells part of the story. And then what I think is really interesting is the other part of the story is told by we, as in the collective townspeople.
Interesting.
Which in the townspeople, it's more like the students at the high school. Like, we were really interested when Lucy Vale moved into town, but we didn't know what to do. Like, it's really unique. I'm 64% through, loving where it's going. So can't wait to talk about that one next for sure.
Okay, good. Because I have that on.
And I just love Lauren Oliver's writing. She's, again, those must-buy authors for me. Then I got to read The 13th Child. I got a new paperback, which just came out today. The paperback's for 13th Child, released today. So I can annotate it and everything. And then hoping to get Rebel Witch. But actually, I think I'm going to start re-listening to The Devil in the White City because I need a good biography to listen to. And I can use my Spotify time.
Yeah.
If I do it now.
Yes.
Then it'll be all good. So I'm also, like I said, full on into the musical. And I don't know about you guys, and maybe some of our listeners know this. I am looking for any books more like a modern retelling of Orpheus and Eurydice.
There's not many.
And there's not a lot I'm not finding. Like,
I had a hard time finding any because that is one of my favorite stories. I've read several versions that are just like retellings of the story. Like
the same story.
From same story, but different points of view, or not points of view, but different authors' perspective.
There's lots with Hades and Persephone.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that, who is the person that wrote Circe and Song of Hercules? Miller.
Please hold. It's
Miller.
Yeah,
something
I was
Miller.
It's right next to my face. Madeline Miller.
I'm like, maybe she'll write.
Yeah.
An Orpheus and Eurydice book. So if anyone has any ideas of a good Orpheus and Eurydice, because like I said, my musical's Hades Town, I would love it.
So there is a, and I didn't read it, so I can't give you any kind of like, is it good or not? But there is a graphic novel, because I remember finding it. And then I never picked it up for some reason. That is supposed to be, let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Oh, it's called, this might be the right one. It's called The Crow. There is another one that says Midnight Ruin, but it's a romantic retelling by Katie Robert that reimagines the myth in a queer-focused fantasy setting.
Okay.
But I guess it is literally just straight up The Crow. And that's why I didn't go get it, because I already knew the story. And I was like, I don't know if I see that. I mean, I get it, but not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just interesting because that is such a popular myth.
Yeah.
That it's.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
It feels like there should be more.
Yeah. And my summer trip, I have a meeting for it. Hopefully more kids sign up to go to Iceland this summer. So I'm also be looking for some books about Iceland because it's definitely. I'm super excited about it. So any suggestions, DM them to us because I need
just
more.
Send
I need
them
more
our
books
way.
To read. So
literally always.
What about you, Marianne? What's going on?
I just started Winter Garden by Kristen Hanna, going into blind. So I'm like 6% in. So I don't know what to expect. So I'm excited to read it. I like her books a lot. Listening to the Poppy Fields and picking up so many little things that I didn't catch when I was reading. For my book clubs, I've got that Riley Seeger book I need to read. What did I say it was? The new one.
So excited about that one.
And then my other book club, we're reading The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. I've heard good things about that.
I've heard mixed. People love it or hate it. Like, it's kind of all over. Yeah.
I didn't love it, but that's not really saying it. Just wasn't the... It was so well written. And I was just like, like, just not really my thing. Vibe.
Yeah. Well, one of the people in my book club has already read it. She said it was, like, really heavy on the beginning, but then she liked the end. So, I don't know. And what else? Oh, then I have to read The 13th Child, too. So,
yes.
I'm really excited about that. That is the one book of hers I have not read.
It's so good.
I know, and I've read the others multiple times. I'm like, oh, I should probably read this.
You should probably read that.
So what about you, Kit? What are you listening to, reading to,
So I'm probably going to jump to the Halloween, if we're being honest. If we're going to be honest in this situation, I'm fully reading that tonight.
But go into it blind on TikTok Live.
Maybe I'll save it for tomorrow and do a TikTok Live tonight.
There you go.
I'm going to do tonight on TikTok Live. Well, I'm going to do just some of my favorite horror books. And then I'm going to do TikTok Live later this month about my favorite, just like Unhinged. The Scarecrow's Queen. Like the ones that are just like ridiculous. Got to keep them separate. The other two books that I'm reading right now, I'm rereading Broken Dolls by Ali Melanenko. It just came out yesterday. So I read the ARC. Now I'm reading my copy that came in the mail. She is my all-time favorite middle grade horror author.
Okay.
I have my tattoo that's on my leg is a direct quote from her book, This Appearing House. She is probably one of the best middle grade writers, period, that I've ever kind of like come across. She does all of her books deal with like heavy, heavy topics through a horror lens. So this one is about grief. And going back to Stephen King. He wrote the blurb for this book.
Wow.
I saw that. I was looking at that. Yeah.
She, I can't remember the actual like logistics of how they got into contact with each other, but I feel like it was just like social media. And he was like, I would love to read this book. And she was like freaking out in the background.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, like how does this happen?
Yeah.
And he's been like a huge kind of champion of this book in particular, because it's that good. Like when you got Stephen King going like, this is not just a good middle grade book. This is a good book. Horror book. Like,
I might have to check that out. I'm really interested in it. Yeah.
It's good. And then I'm reading a short story collection that's just straight up weird monster romance. And it's called Monstrous Meat Cutes. And it's just a bunch of little stories of like different. And it's less like weird, creepy, smutty romance and more like just really cute romances that just happen to have monsters in them. So those are my two that I'm reading right now. And I do have to, I got The 13th Child on Kindle because for our book, I can't annotate on like an actual hard copy. It drives me nuts. Yeah. I love doing it on the Kindle.
So I don't know about you guys, but I am really getting tired of talking. I would like to go spend some time reading.
Yeah.
So let's wrap this bad boy
up. I need to finish that arc tonight. Like, I'm dying to.
Let's be honest. I could talk all day long. I am going to go do a TikTok Live, so I'll talk to other people.
your day is 3 hours behind our day.
This is true.
2 hours. But it's only 5 o'clock my time. I'm the only one at home in the house, just me and the dog. So me and TikTok are going to have a conversation about horror books.
I've been up since 5:15 this morning. So
Same. Well, yeah, I was up that early. I was driving to Rocky Mountain National Park.
That's true.
I'm not going to work because I'm unemployed.
Well,
the things you can do when you're unemployed.
Well, if you haven't listened to last month's book club episode, The Poppy Fields by Nikki Ehrlich, you definitely need to. We actually, it was the first episode that I didn't have to put a warning on for our language. Because I was like, wow, we didn't say anything bad in that, but just the nature of the book. Of course, next month we're featuring The 13th Child by Erin Craig. By the way, it's also, not only did it come out in paperback today, but it is one of Barnes & Noble's featured books for October.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
You'll see it.
Nice.
You'll see it out a lot. And we're going to have a few special extras for that, maybe.
Nice.
You know?
Maybe.
Erin's super busy right now because she's promoting her new book, Land So Wide. So she's a little hard to get to, but we'll work something up later.
Beautiful.
And don't forget to follow our socials, subscribe to the podcast, and please leave us a review. We want to know what you think.
and let us know if there's a book you'd like to see us read or cover in the book club. We love, love book recommendations. We always
need more. So until next time, keep reading,
keep exploring,
and don't forget to pack the snack.
Or dinner.
Yeah. Or dinner.
Which is what I'm ready for.